Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Elizabeth Thornton is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new president, a new member of our Brain Trust, a new friend, and the president, I should have said, and CEO of Entrepreneurship Advantage Incorporated. She's also an adjunct professor at Babson College, an organization you've heard me talk about many times before because of the outstanding work that they do on behalf of entrepreneurs, their fostering of the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, and other important works that they do there. And Elizabeth is part of that organization. And she's here to talk to us about something that you and I need to focus on a little bit more, objectivity. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you here, and congratulations on your work with Babson and also the ability to be part of that environment. That's a wonderful place up there for entrepreneurship, isn't it?
Absolutely. We are very dedicated to trying to empower entrepreneurs with the skills, the foundation that they need to really launch and sustain viable businesses, Jim.
One of the things that, and we're going to talk about objectivity in a minute, but I want to ask you some definitions.
Okay.
What do you consider to be the definition of entrepreneurs, of an entrepreneur?
Oh, a definition of an entrepreneur. At Babson, we think of it as a mindset. It's kind of a way of viewing the world. It's kind of a way of thinking. It's a way of acting. It's opportunity obsessed. It's holistic in its approach. It's leadership balanced. And it's all around the mission and the focus to create value or to create wealth.
Mm-hmm. But no particular scale, right? I mean, an entrepreneur could be somebody who's starting out home based and never intends to go public, or it could be somebody that one of these people that that sometimes they call them gazelles because they're going to go from 0 to 60 in 4.6 seconds or something like that.
Absolutely. It could be a lifestyle business, or it could be a high potential growth venture that they're going to take public at some point. But the entrepreneurial process, the characteristics that make you successful are all the same. It's about being opportunity obsessed, looking at opportunity, marshaling resources, putting that team together to really capitalize on that opportunity.
Well, the reason I asked that question is I've had this debate with people in the last few months, and some people believe, and I think incorrectly, that an entrepreneur, that you can only be an entrepreneur if your business is going to be, create hundreds of jobs and maybe even thousands of jobs over the next 4 or 5 years, and I just think that that's a very narrow view of entrepreneurship.
I think that's a narrow view, too. If you look at some of our industries, like, professional management consulting industries, do you know that that industry is so fragmented, meaning that I would say somewhere around 80 to 84% of the companies in that industry have 1 to 4 employees?
Right.
And so, really, entrepreneurship is about creating value, about identifying a customer where there's an unmet need, and then figuring out a way that you can meet that need in a differentiated manner to create value for that customer.
And taking the blind...
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying, whether you do that on a small scale or on a large scale, it really is a mindset, a way of thinking, and a way of acting.
Right. Well, and I certainly agree with you. And to me, an entrepreneur is someone who says, this thing we've got here, we're working on. Why don't we turn it upside down and paint it purple and see what that looks like?
Exactly. So many businesses, Jim, are founded on just someone who's just in their daily day lives or in their corporations. They identify a problem or a better way of doing something, or something that frustrates them, or something that they want to solve. Maybe it's a problem that they see in society that they want to solve. I mean, it comes from all these sources, but a kind of a passion that emerges to solve that problem or to be creative or to look at it a little bit differently. And that's what ignites that entrepreneurial passion, and then the problem process starts in terms of really creating the resources around capitalizing on that opportunity.
And as exciting as being an entrepreneur is, as exciting as the entrepreneurial spirit and the entrepreneurial momentum and the entrepreneurial environment that can be created, as exciting as all that is, there can be a roadblock, a speed bump, an impediment to success.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
you write about that in a report that you've recently released on objectivity. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because once that idea comes and, you know, people that passion ignites, you know, entrepreneurs are singularly focused on making that happen. And they're so excited, and a lot of times they have so much at stake. I mean, in a lot of cases they're singularly responsible for their ability to eat after this venture. They might have quit their job, their cushy paycheck that they get every month, and now all of a sudden they have this great passion, they quit their job, and they start down this path, and, you know, but they got to eat. So the first thing they really need to do, and a lot of times what happens is they're guided by this unyielding passion for the vision of the entrepreneurial venture, and they're not looking at things objectively, and they're not analyzing the customer base, the industry, putting that business plan
what
together.
What is it that causes them to lose objectivity? Is there an inherent conflict between creativity and objectivity?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's a conflict between the two. I just think once you have creativity, the creativity is the spark, but then you have to ground that in objectivity. You've got to ground it in understanding basic realities of the way the world works and also basic realities about the way your mind works. So you can be very creative about how to approach a particular problem, but when you go about dealing with that problem, you have to understand some basic realities. For example, you know Murphy's Law?
Of course. Murphy's Law is alive and well in small business.
Exactly. So when you're going down that path, you're being very, very creative, you've got a business plan, all of a sudden something happens that you can't anticipate. Murphy's Law is in full effect, and something happens along the way, and entrepreneurs have to go into that venture knowing that something could go wrong. In fact, things often do go wrong. So if an entrepreneur is approaching that situation saying, okay, I have a business plan, I think it's going to go this way, but oh, by the way, it may go differently than the way I think, then I'm prepared, Jim, to be able to tweak that concept, to tweak that business plan, to respond to what is, to the reality of what's happening today, whether it's different from my plan or not, and then make an intelligent decision in that moment.
Folks,
does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Elizabeth, hang on. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, for those people who might not know what Murphy's Law is, officially, as I understand it, it's Murphy's Law is anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and anything that can go wrong will cost more than you thought it was going to. That's Murphy's Law as I understand it. We're going to be right back with Elizabeth Thornton. We're going to talk some more about your objectivity. Do you have any? Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'll get that out in a minute. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and my newsletter and the blog and thousands of articles, thousands of archives, lots of good stuff there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. smallbusinessadvocate.com, and then our knowledge base, the world's only knowledge base for small business, askjim.biz. Check that out when you get a chance. You can ask your small business questions right there and get an answer immediately, and maybe lots of answers. So check it out, askjim.biz. Elizabeth Thornton is our new friend. She's the president and CEO of Entrepreneurship Advantage. She's an adjunct professor at Babson College, and she's got a white paper out. I guess, Elizabeth, is that the best way to describe it, on objectivity?
Yeah, I think so.
It's outstanding. Tell us how we can find it, Elizabeth.
Well, it's actually on the Houghton Mifflin website. And we might be able to put a link up maybe on your site, Jim, so that they can take a look at it, and they can, you know, look at the they can't download and print it out, but they can actually view it on the site. They would have to contact the sales representative to actually purchase the module.
I see. Okay. I was able to look at it by going to by actually by Googling you, Elizabeth Thornton. We found it and was able to put it up just to look at it there. So
right, exactly.
If you want to just go see what's going on, folks, and then you can contact the company if you want to purchase it.
Sure.
Elizabeth, I want to come back to this objectivity thing and talk about it. About the you talked about the fact that Murphy's Law is alive and well.
Right.
Are you saying then that what we should have is, as we make our plans, we should plan for what we think will happen, for what we hope will happen, for what we are working to make happen, but we should also have a plan B?
It's a plan B, and it's more like a risk analysis at this point, because what you need to do in your business plan, and even if you're doing it yourself, funding it yourself out of your own pocket or family and friends, or certainly venture capitalists and banks, you definitely have to have a section of that business plan that really clearly outlines the risks associated with this business. And that really is the Murphy's Law. What could go wrong? And most importantly, how will I handle those potential occurrences in the industry, in my customers' needs, in my ability to raise capital? How will I handle those particular factors? And really sit down objectively, whether you're starting a business, this is very important, but even 2 years, 3 years, you know, even people who are doing a strategic planning process who have been in business for 10 years with 20 million in sales, they still have to really take a clear and objective assessment of where they are and really understand what their risks are from where their current position is, and then how to move forward based on the potential of those risks.
One of the things I tell small business owners is when you're going to the bank, for example, mm-hmm. take the bank your model that you think you're going to do. If you loan me $50,000 or whatever it is, if you loan me this money, this is what I'm going to do with it. This is what I think it's going to do for my business. But
right.
then take them another model and say, okay, even if we do 20% less than I think we're going to do, here's how I can show you that I'm still going to make my payments.
That's exactly right, because that's what the bank looks for, is debt service capability.
Cash flow.
And what they'll do is they'll look at those pro forma projections, and because they know entrepreneurs are less than objective, and they tend to think it'll just go beautifully all the time, they normally discount those revenue projections by 50%. It's quite funny, actually. So they know that entrepreneurs have difficulty being objective, so they'll probably cut those revenue projections in half. They might increase the expenses just because it's very hard for entrepreneurs to really understand what their costs are going to be getting started, for example. And then they will try to say, okay, given that potential, does this person have the debt service capability to take on this debt?
Right.
So that becomes very important.
So objectivity is not something – I think it's difficult for some people to stay – I think they think they need to be on a high. I think a lot of people think they need to maintain a certain level of excitement about their business. And sometimes I think some people think being objective, being realistic, brings them down a little bit. What do you think?
No, well, I think people have that perception, but it's not that at all, because you really do need that enthusiasm, that energy, that passion to pull it off. There's no question about that. If I were to say there was one fundamental characteristic that's required to be successful, that's passion and energy and drive. So, no, objectivity doesn't do anything to impact that. Objectivity just says, okay, given the fact that I have all that, where can I put my energy in the right places? How am I going to respond to things that happen that I don't anticipate? I know that every effort that I make is a calculated risk, so what do I do if it doesn't turn out the way that I want it to turn out? So
do we need, if we're the ones with the energy, we're the ones with the vision and the passion, we need to have somebody who's associated with us in our organization, or some advisor who we can count on to help us with the objectivity? Is that a good idea?
I think so. I think business advisors are really good for entrepreneurs, because they can be more objective, because they're not living it day to day.
Right.
And they can look at the current circumstances, look at the customers, look at the industry, and find out what's going on, and help that entrepreneur see the landscape more objectively.
But you got to find somebody you can trust, right?
Yeah, having someone that you can trust is very important. But more importantly, it's someone who's interested in you. You know, business is about relationships, Jim. It's people who believe in you. When you have that passion and energy, people will respond to that, and people will want to help you. And if you can discern that person is trustworthy, and you can talk to them about your business, then if they have industry knowledge, then they can really be of value to you.
Elizabeth, thank you. I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here.
Okay.
Will you come back another day?
I would love to, Jim.
We got a lot to talk about. Thank you for being
okay.
here. Elizabeth
okay,
Thornton, ladies
so
and gentlemen, the author of Objectivity, A Guiding Principle of Entrepreneurship. I encourage you to check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 29 after, right back with Wilma Goldstein. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.